Well, today, as I've already mentioned, is the first Sunday of Lent, hence we're in purple, the colour of Lent and of Advent. Season we entered in last Wednesday. Well done for those of you who did come on a rather cold evening to mark Ash Wednesday last Wednesday. And I want us this morning to think how we are to approach a new Lent based upon our Gospel reading set this morning. Lent, of course, everybody knows, lasts 40 days, based on the time Jesus spent in the wilderness. The opening line, of course, of our first hymn, 40 days and 40 nights. As I know, I've explained more than once, in fact, Lent lasts more than 40 days. It lasts 47 days, because you don't count the Sundays. Karen's getting excited. You don't count the Sundays. They are feast days, whereas the other days are supposed to be fasting days. Yes, there are 47 days between the 18th of February and the 5th of April, Easter Day this year. Again, as I know I've explained over the years of preaching here, the expression 40 days and 40 nights actually is just a Jewish expression for a long time. The best example in English is, you know, some of the gentlemen say about ladies, she's been in the bathroom for ages. What we actually mean is they've been in for a long time, not for several hundred years. So if we're waiting desperate for the loo, it sometimes seems like it. Yes, exactly, Gordon. Yes. So in other words, Jesus spent a long time in the wilderness, though liturgically we keep it as 40 days. We are, for those of you who understand the three-year cycle of lectionary readings that we follow, in the year when Mark's Gospel predominates. And therefore, this morning, you heard a very brief account from Mark of Jesus' time in the wilderness. We just stuck to that. It's precisely two verses, rather short Gospel reading. Mark is, of course, the shortest Gospel, and we have much more information about the time Jesus spent in the wilderness in Matthew and Luke. Actually, from a biblical point of view, it's rather unusual, because normally Matthew and Luke abbreviate what Mark has to say for shortening it. One of the rare occasions where they expand upon what Mark writes, no doubt picking up some of the teaching and sayings of Jesus that you may be familiar with from Matthew and Luke, Jesus' response to the different temptations that he receives. And no doubt the lectionary compilers deciding that the Gospel reading needed to be longer than two verses, therefore give us both the baptism of Jesus before he goes into the wilderness, and also the beginning of his ministry in Galilee. And the advantage, of course, is it actually puts the time in the wilderness into context. It's important for us to see. After his baptism, before he begins his teaching ministry. And also, I missed out on preaching on the baptism of Jesus this year anyway, because it was the Sunday that Jack Min preached, so I inherit the story once again. So, for my three main headings this morning, I want to focus on baptism, time in the wilderness, and the beginning of the public ministry, and see if we can learn something from each of these. The opening couple of verses describe, again, Jesus coming to the Jordan and being baptized by John the Baptist. And as part of that, Jesus is anointed by the Spirit. Mark is brief, as he often is, and direct and to the point. Jesus comes to where John the Baptist is preaching and baptizing, and by asking to be baptized, he affirms John the Baptist's ministry and is himself baptized. And then we're told the Spirit descended upon him. We speak of Jesus Christ or Jesus the Messiah. Christ and Messiah are the same word. Christ is the Greek, Messiah is the Hebrew, and both mean the anointed one. And the message in the baptism story, a couple of verses, is that Jesus is the Messiah, the Christ, because he is anointed by the Spirit that comes upon him. It is God's call and the anointing of the Spirit to begin his public ministry, which happens after his time in the wilderness. All of us here who have been baptized are promised the filling of the Holy Spirit within us. And please note in the collect this morning, to which I trust you all said Amen, we prayed, give us grace to discipline ourselves, in the season of Lent in particular, in obedience to your Spirit. We pray. The beginning of Lent, let us be a people who listen to God, trying to hear what He is saying to us. And if we do hear, being obedient to His call. Jesus' baptism, the Spirit of Lent. We have the Spirit of God within us. Let us hear His call and obey it. Then we come to the central part, the time Jesus spends in the wilderness, where He is tempted by Satan. But notice, He is driven there by the Spirit, so the text tells us. And I'm sure many of you will know that a great spiritual experience, such as Jesus had at His baptism, is often followed by a time of testing. And there is, of course, nothing wrong with being tested. What, of course, matters is how we respond to that time of testing. In our society today, there is a great pressure to always be doing things, to be busy, isn't there? And people work long hours, as we say, burn the candle at both ends. But I believe there is a place for just being, spending time with God, for silent reflection, reading and prayer, just as Jesus spent that time in the wilderness, listening to the call of the Spirit, being tested, but being apart from people, being still. And if we do give time to being, with time with God, just being still, silently reflecting, we will usually come out stronger at the end, just as Jesus did. Yes, we are all tempted. Tempted to do wrong, or tempted, as often is the case, to do nothing when we should have done something. The temptation can be resisted and overcome. If we face temptation in our weakness, ask God for His power to save, for the strength of His Spirit within us, to work within us. Yes, time for stillness and the strength of God's Spirit to respond to temptation, or, as it can be translated, to testing. And then we are told, now after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee proclaiming the good news of God and saying, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God has come near, repent and believe the good news. Right at the beginning of Jesus' public ministry, we have this clear call of what he preached, to repent and to believe. Repent is such a churchy word, isn't it? When do we use the word repent other than in church? We have said that we will repent of our sins. Yes. Yes, it's one of those words that's sort of added into liturgical language and not into everyday speech. What does it mean? Well, the emphasis of it actually is not just being sorry for something, which you often think is, oh, I repent, I'm sorry for, and keep doing it. It has a sense of repenting, of being sorry, and turning and going the other way. Nice to have my fellow minister nodding her head vigorously as I said that. Thank you, as Karen understands the Greek better than I do. Yes, be sorry for and turn away from that which is wrong and seek to go in the right way. That's what Jesus calls for, and we are called to do that in this season of Lent, as we did, as we heard the Ten Commandments this morning. But Jesus also calls for people to believe the good news. And of course, course, he goes out and preaches and calls people to faith, to believe. Later in this service, I shall use these words as part of the Eucharistic prayer, at the bottom of page 10 of the Order of Service, if you want to refer to them, where I will say, for in these 40 days, this period of Lent, you lead us into the desert of repentance, that through a pilgrimage of prayer and discipline, we may grow in grace and learn to be your people once again. Through fasting, prayer, and acts of service, you bring us back to your generous heart. Through study of your holy word, you open our eyes to your presence in the world and free our hands to welcome others into the radiant splendor of your love. And then, as we prepare to celebrate the Easter feast with joyful hearts and minds. Because that is what Lent is for, to prepare ourselves for the celebration of Easter once again. That is how we should use Lent, prepare ourselves for Easter Day. So, how are we to approach and use Lent this year? May I suggest that, like Jesus in the Gospel, we who are anointed by God's Spirit, made his beloved children, we need to remind ourselves of that, that we have God's Spirit within us through this period, well, always through this period. Yes, we are tempted, but given God's power and grace to resist. And yes, we are called to repent and to call others to repentance and to faith, to believe in the good news. I believe if we do all of that, we may then be ready to celebrate Jesus' triumph over sin and death in the forthcoming festival of Easter. In the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.